As our kids are gathering and exiting, would y'all join me in a prayer over them? And you're so led, you can reach your hand over in blessing. Lord, for each of these kids, each one of them, we rejoice, we recognize your image in them. We know that you've given them to this world as your gift, as an ongoing sign of your presence and your delight in us. And so, Lord, we pray for them as they go, that they would know how precious they are to you and in your world, that they would know that you are present to them, that you are powerful within them. Lord, that they would come to know you deeply, that they would walk with you every day of their life, that they would live to know you more and to honor you in all of their being and doing. We pray this over them with hope. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. City well. City well. Good morning. We want to begin to pray over this space and pray for this time, for this is a very sacred time. Every Sunday that we worship together is sacred, so we especially want to highlight all that will take place from this point forward. Would you pray with us? Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. We pray for wisdom. We pray for guidance. We pray for openness in our hearts and our minds. We thank you for this privilege to be among your people. Yes. Speak, Holy Spirit. Come. We are listening.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. City well, it gives me honor and also sadness to stand before you today to share news that effective July 2018, I will be transitioning from City Well as pastor to full-time campus ministry at NCCU. I will begin to be there full-time to launch, kick off, however you want to word it, a new missional community. I stand before you having prayed with my partner Cleve and our leadership team and many others that are present today prior to sharing this news. I am confident that this transition is a faithful following of the work of the Holy Spirit. So as I stand before you sharing this, I also stand with sadness and grief, with the obedience to the Holy Spirit to move forward. I want to just share a little bit more. Many of you may not even know how all of the pieces of this new missional community got started here at City Well, or even how I came here as a pastor at City Well. But I think it's important for you to hear me and Cleve share from our hearts today to give you this full picture of the reality of the Holy Spirit at work at a place that we love, a place that we call our beloved City Well.
Thank you, Gloria. So as we thought about how to share this news with everyone, it wears very heavy on us. For a lot of reasons. One, I would say the vast majority of people in this room have only known City Well with Gloria as a pastor here. Gloria's been here for 4 years. We're a coming up on 7-year-old church. We have such a constant inflow of new people that most of you probably only know City Well as a church where Gloria is pastor. And so the transition for all of us is really a significant one. It also weighed heavy on us as an opportunity to share the story of our church with y'all, because so many of you weren't here in the beginning. You don't know how Gloria came to be here, how central her place with us has been, not only to our sense of mission in the world, but to who we've become as a church. We also feel a great weight around it because we know that transitions bring about anxiety. I would tell you that I have a tremendous amount of anxiety about this and can speak more about that later. But as a community, we want to create a very transparent space where we can just name these things and trust that God is in the midst of it, that God is with us, that we can actually beat back the way that the evil one would use transition and anxiety to sow seeds of fear and division among us, which no doubt I think the evil one would like to do. So anyway, we carry a lot of weight into this. I want to speak for a few minutes to give you the BG story, the before Gloria story. And then Gloria will jump in with her coming. So CityWell began in the heart of me and Amy in 2010 when our bishop called us and asked us to come to downtown Durham and to do, quote, anything except what we already do as a United Methodist Church. A fantastic commissioning. And so Amy and I had a year between that phone call and moving here to dream. And we asked God very specifically to plant a vision in our minds and our hearts that was so beyond our own experience that we would have no doubt that it came from the Lord, and that it would be so unlikely of success that if it came to be, all people could say is, look at God. And we started dreaming about this church. And core to that dream was that it would be a church where in every possible way we would be seeking to figure out what it meant to make our way of life together a way of discipleship, a way of very intentionally learning how to receive the ways of Jesus as our way of life. And then second to that, we felt very convicted that this community was to be a witness to the kingdom of God in which people of every tribe, nation, and tongue come together before the throne of the Lamb. That was a very, that vision, I believe, was from God. I believe this church only exists because that vision was from God, and God wants this kind of witness in this community. And if you weren't here in the first couple of years, or if you were, let me say it positive, if you were here in the first 3 years, you know that this is of God because there is no reason we should have survived. And largely the reason for that is where I believe the vision we had for the church was a strong biblical vision and had great theological foundations. We entered into that in a phenomenally naive way. Namely, I had never reckoned at all with the significance of my racial identity. I didn't think it mattered that I was a white man. I love Jesus, you love Jesus, let's link arms and go together. That's what God wants, and that's what God is going to get in heaven, and we're supposed to be about, you know, kingdom coming on earth as in heaven, so let's go. It was very simple in our minds, where in our world, this is anything but simple. And in the first 3 years together as a church, there was so much harm done, so much hurt experienced, so much blood on the floor. And it was precisely because we hadn't reckoned with the power of white supremacy and racism and the way that we are all deeply formed by this and the way that it has colored our ability to engage one another and see one another as fully human, to trust one another and to lean into authentic friendships with one another. There were just phenomenal barriers. I would call them, spiritual barricades to our becoming this kind of community that we just weren't reckoning with until we smashed against them and hurt each other deeply. After our first year together, we recognized that we had to reckon with racism as a fundamental matter of our discipleship. And we began to do that. And we began to do that in the kind of way that anyone who begins anything complicated is really sloppy. And there was more blood on the floor. At the end of our second year, the leadership team, we were sitting around the table, and the punchline of the conversation was, we either need to stop being a church, or we have to have another pastor. And specifically, we have to have a pastor of color. Because, Cleve, as much as we love you, we cannot become this kind of people and only have a white male voice leading us. To which I said, yes, that's right. And so I then said to them, even though I'm 100% in agreement with you and will pursue this with you, I need you to know that we're a United Methodist Church, which means we're a 96% white denomination, which means there are very few pastors of color in our conference at all. And one of the things we had learned to that point was we didn't just need a person of color. We needed a person of color who was deep and strong in their identity as a person of color, who understood that their cultural background, their racial history was a part of God's gift to them and a part of their strength to offer offer to the world. The last thing we needed was a person of color who would come in and just submit readily to the ways of white cultural norms that were operating strongly in our church. That would take us backwards. And I said, you know, if there's pastors of color in our tradition, oftentimes they have survived precisely by assimilating into the way of whiteness, not by being high identity in the midst of it. And then on top of that, like, Citywell's such a weird little Methodist church. You know, most folks that are you know, trained up in this tradition don't feel very at home in our midst. And so the likelihood of finding somebody who would vibe well here, it's just so unlikely. And then on top of that, you know, I'm such a particular personality. I mean, finding somebody who could bear with me and walk with me and not want to kill me, that's a whole nother thing. And so I said to the leadership team, yes, and it ain't going to happen. But as an act of faithfulness, I will go to our district superintendent and I will ask. So I go and I meet with our district superintendent, who at the time was a woman named Donna Banks. And I sit down with Donna and I say, Donna, and Donna's a black woman, and she understood this thing that we were trying to do, and she understood how fraught and how dangerous these waters are. And I said, Donna, we know that we either need to shut down or we need another pastor, and specifically a pastor of color who can help us learn to recognize and resist the ways of white supremacy in our midst. And Donna said, yes, yes, yes. But Cleve, you need to understand, we're a United Methodist Church, is a 96% white denomination. And she just like hit all the bullets. And I was like, Donna, I know, I told them all that, but we're asking, can you help us? And Donna said, you know, I'll keep my ear to the ground. We continue having that conversation, or a conversation beyond that. At the end of our conversation, I say, hey, Donna, what do you got on the rest of your day? And she goes, oh, I'm going to meet with it. And she just stops mid-sentence, and she gets tears in her eyes, and she gets goosebumps all over her arms, and she goes, oh, my God, Gloria is the one. And I said, whoa, slow down. Wait a second. Who's Gloria? She said, Gloria is who I'm going to meet with right now. She's your pastor. And I said, no, that's a little fast, Donna. I said... Donna, the first thing I need to know is I need you to tell me about Gloria's life with Jesus. So we don't just need a black person. And Donna says to me, Cleve, if I need someone to pray for me in this district, I call Gloria. I said, okay, let's talk with Gloria. And so we did.
And so the journey got started. I remember coming out of a lot of pain and hurt through the United Methodist Church, of being told that I talk differently, I say too many amens, and the list goes on. But at the time, I was really hopeful that I would be welcome still in the United Methodist Church. And so I remember the day in which I met with Cleve and members of the leadership team to hear of their desire to want me specifically because of the color of my skin, because of my ethnicity, because of my commitment to standing in my blackness. And it just didn't seem real. But I remember that meeting at BU Cafe, mm-hmm. and talking with them and also being assured that this was real, and that this was a church that had sought out someone such as myself. When I came from a church where had the word N-I-G-G-E-R written on several things in the church, being called names, I could go on.
Had her tires slashed.
Being in cross-racial, cross-cultural appointments was not easy for me or my family, but I was committed to being what God had called me to be, and to be a witness among those that were not like me. So when I received this call and met with them, it just didn't seem real. But from that day up to this day, it has been a true, real experience of being welcome, being in a space where we are truly who we say we are, a church that welcomes, a church that listens, a church that is gathering where we are not fitting a certain criteria. And so I became a part of City Well, and it was truly this continued part of a partnership between Cleve and I. From the beginning, Cleve fought for me. From the beginning, Cleve helped this road be much smoother than I could have ever imagined. And I say that not just in this congregation, but throughout the conference and throughout the community. You see, he may have said he was not aware of his whiteness and et cetera, but he truly was aware of how the culture is among his people. And what he decided to do was to stand and to dispel the myths that could have been there, to walk beside me, to walk with me. I can remember numerous times where we would be in settings where we were introduced as pastors of City Well, and the majority of people were probably 100% Caucasian, male and female. One time in particular, we were in this space, and we were hosting another group all together from the Western Conference. And we sat together, we talked. He sat on one side, I sat on the other side. We shared who we were, our mission. And throughout that conversation, they continued to ask him the questions. They continued to look to him for responses to whatever was occurring. And I'll never forget that. Cleve got out of his seat, picked up his seat, and walked over and put it beside me, sat directly beside me and said, "She can answer the questions just as I can answer the questions." I'll never forget that, because oftentimes it's not a matter of you being confrontational. It's putting action in it. And that move of placing his chair and saying it verbally resonated with them. Many times I could tell you how from the beginning all the way up until this past weekend, we have fought for this relationship in partnership. We have fought for this to be the church that is truly set apart, this church that represents what it means to be in partnership. Mm-hmm. And so I've been here, and it's been a journey where not only was I to walk this as pastor with Cleve, but I was to also begin a new ministry, to plant a missional community on the campus of NCCU. And that was a part of my funding stream, where I was getting paid from the conference to implement this new missional community. And at the same time, here I was walking here as a pastor of City Well. And as I began to do this throughout the first year, my focus was learning City Well, learning who City Well was and how the DNA was so entrenched here. And so I spent a significant amount of my time the first 6 months of being here and stepping over into the campus of North Carolina Central University. And when I stepped over there, there were several barriers that were placed up. There were several situations that it was not a welcoming environment. But I truly had my support, my backing from my City Well family to try creative things, to continue to press forward, to use whatever resources we have to make sure City Well presence is there. And so after a year, it was truly an open door. There were some challenges and changes that did occur, but through it all, I was welcomed, well-received by the administration and also the students, staff, and faculty. And after a year, I was invited to not only be there as a campus minister, but to look at a position on the campus as director, director of a new community, a new name, the Office of Spiritual Development and Dialogue. And so in looking at that, I presented it back to City Well to say, how is this going to fit? How does this fit within who we say we are? The leadership team responded that it will fit because it will continue to enhance our presence on that campus. And so for a whole year, I served as campus minister of City Well Wesley Campus Ministry and also part-time as the campus minister there. Director, it was campus minister slash director of the Office of Spiritual Development and Dialogue. And through that association, we've had students to be a part of this ministry that have been baptized, students that consider this to be a part of their home. And the presence on our campus was known. CityWell, the church presence was known. And I'm proud to be able to stand before you and say it continued to grow. After completing a year in that position, this August, I was stepping into the second year. And the challenge was, how do I continue to walk this faithfully as the pastor of CityWell Church and this campus ministry that is blooming, that is booming? And so it has been this ongoing discussion, how do we do this well? And how do we truly listen to the Holy Spirit? How do we move in a direction where the Spirit is calling us? And so it was about the beginning of, about mid last year, I was approached by the Board of Higher Ed and Campus Ministry. The Board of Higher Ed and Campus Ministry to consider funding my position on that campus full time, to have a presence at a historically black college, a presence through the United Methodist Church, and to be paid full time by that. And I presented it to our team, and it continued to have discussion back and forth. How will we do it? How will it look? And it was approved. And so over the last 2 years, it's been this listening to the Holy Spirit, trying to honor this relationship, this partnership, this commitment as pastor of CityWell, and also a presence on the campus of North Carolina Central University. And I can say to you, it has truly been difficult. Mm-hmm. It's been as if I'm pulled in places because this is, you're my family. You're my family. And at the same time, walking with my partner of wanting to be here and yet being called on this campus where I have a very prominent presence and I'm asked to be a part of things there from commencement all the way to the opening of school. It truly has been one of those times where I've had to pause and listen to the Holy Spirit. So to stand before you today is not about just sharing this announcement, but it's also about having the opportunity to stand with a partner that I have been walking with for 4 years, a partner and a family that has seen me in a capacity as a pastor, and to not just say, okay, there's going to be a transition. See you. No, that is not what I'm standing before you saying. I'm saying that there is a shift, there is a transition from my presence here into another full-time capacity effective July 2018. However, in that capacity, it will still be a commitment to CityWell as my church. It will still be a commitment to CityWell as my church. I will not be in the capacity as a pastor. I will be in the capacity as a campus minister in a church plant, a missional plant, however you want to call it, on a campus that was started by this church, a missional community that was planted by CityWell Church. And there will be more discussions about how does that look, how does it impact the students, how does it impact those that are already serving on the advisory team in this church. And how will we continue to grow? What impact will it have upon us? Well, I believe it's more than just what impact will it have on us. It's on the world and how we have continued to be a people that are changing the world.
I want to name some of the tension points in the story that Gloria just shared. I anticipate that the transition we're moving toward next July will not just be butter smooth. I anticipate that we're going to hiccup and stumble, and we're going to get fretful and anxious about things, because that has been true at every step of evolution in our relationship with Gloria, and it's because we're people. When Gloria came, she came very specifically on the request that we would have a co-pastor whose full-time attention was in this congregation. That was precisely what we asked for. The conference said, you know, they kind of went, did a little loop-de-loop around Donna, because Donna was in our corner saying, yes, absolutely. They went around Donna to do some funding pieces. They appoint Gloria, and after she gets here, they say, and by the way, she's going to be working at NCCU also.
They said that is her original. That is her first placement.
It
kept going back and forth, and it was ongoing of, do I do this more, or do I do this more, or it was iffy.
But it was not what we asked for, and our discerning of the Holy Spirit, where we landed, is what Gloria said. Yes, we believe this is what the Spirit is doing. It took us a lot of wrestling and wrangling and really being upset, being pissed off at the conference, and going back and fighting about it, and then finally saying, okay, well, I mean, this makes sense. Gloria's a graduate of NCCU. Gloria has a history of very fruitful ministry and a passion for campus ministry. Okay. So let's just see. Then Gloria shows up on campus, and she's kind of glazed over. You know, there were some barriers there. She literally had one of the more powerful people in our city, who was an incredibly powerful person on that campus, barring her, blackballing her from the campus, very overtly excluding her from anything that had to do with student affairs and campus ministries. I mean, it looked like, okay, Spirit, maybe this isn't what you want. And then that barrier came down in the most Jericho wall, ain't nothing but God.
Nothing but God.
You wouldn't believe how hard that barrier came down. And all of a sudden, Gloria gets elevated to the position this person was in, and now gets to walk in a way with open hands to say to all these different churches throughout the community, come, because this person was just tight-fisted and controlling what was happening on that campus. And I mean, it was something. And it allowed us to say, okay, yes, this is what the Spirit is doing. And so for that first year, to my recollection, and Gloria, you can correct me, Gloria's time on campus was not huge in hours. Huge in impact, but not huge in hours. She was primarily with the congregation. And then all of a sudden, within probably 18 months of the doors opening up, Gloria had more students coming to her Bible study than any two Wesley foundations on any of our college campuses in this conference combined. And the conference was saying, oh my gosh, not only have we never had a presence on an HBCU campus, but we don't have anything bearing fruit like this in all of our ministries. And so, yes.
I don't want to stop you, but I want you to hear what Cleve is saying. This is not Cleve getting it from my perspective. This is through the DS. This is through the district superintendent, if you don't know what the DS is. This is through the Board of Higher Ed and Campus Ministries, where we together went to have conversations and brought that back to our leadership team. Right. What is the idea? What are you thinking? Facts are right here. There is nothing like this. Yeah. We want to continue. This is flourishing. This is fruitful. We want to invest in this. And everything that he is saying has to do with the conference already being involved on that campus or trying to be involved through this particular person that was there prior to my arrival. And so what he is sharing is not just from me. It is also from different committees of looking in at this and how do we move forward? Yeah. How does this picture really fit with the life of City Well Church? Right. And how does this picture fit with what we believe the Holy Spirit is doing? He said, nothing but God. And I truly mean that. Nothing but God. Yeah. Nothing but God every step of the way. Yeah. All the way. To the extent that, you know, when I look back, it has nothing to do with me. It has all to do with the Holy Spirit and being obedient to the leading of that Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
The scripture lessons that you read today, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8, is what we as a City Well Wesley campus ministry have lived by. We not only want to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, we want to share our lives with the students. That's what we live about. That's when we step on the campus. Those that are here as advisory members, we do that. It is a real ministry. It's a real opportunity for us to get bigger than just ourselves, but get bigger in the witness that we have.
That nothing but God piece is really important because of what goes with it. Nothing but God, and we were freaking out. You know, after this growth came and the university recognized Gloria's impact and came to her and said, hey, we want you to be with us. We want you to take this staff position. We want you to create this office that doesn't exist and run with it. And Gloria comes to the leadership team table. And yes, we did end up saying, we believe this is what the Holy Spirit is doing. But that was after we freaked out for a long time and really wrestled and argued about this, because it felt to us like, no, we asked for a co-pastor. No, we asked for someone to be here. And more this was flourishing on campus, the more and more Gloria was there and less Gloria was here. And as a leadership team, it was not as simple as going, oh, look at what the Spirit's doing. We really resisted it, I would say, pretty overtly for a season. And Gloria kept saying, I really believe this is what the Spirit's doing. I really believe this is what the Spirit's doing. And we came around to saying, okay, if this is what the Spirit's doing, how now do we walk? How now do we continue in this partnership? Things have changed. How now do we adjust and continue in this partnership? The same thing when Gloria came with this offer from the Board of Higher Ed. The leadership team did not just go, oh, of course. We went, ah! Like, what's happening? So I want to say nothing but God. And we freaked out. We believe, and this is easier for Gloria and I to say because we've been wrestling with this for a long time. We don't expect you all to jump on this part of the train at this moment. You can freak out for a while. At this moment, Gloria and I would say to you, we believe what's about to happen is nothing but God. We've done our freaking out.
Nah, I'm not done.
Still freaking out. But we believe this is what the Spirit is doing.
It's important for me to have you to hear these words from my mouth. Because one of the things that we did today, we invited our district superintendent to come. We invited her to be a part of this service. We invited her to be a part of the formation conversation that will happen right after this. And the reason why we invited her is because we wanted to make sure that she was present. Just in case, there may have been some questions that people didn't believe that this was really coming the way it came, or that there was another story behind this story, and that she could stand before you and say, the truth is, Gloria has been working pastoral care, working in a missional community that has flourished and grown. She has been working full-time in that and trying to do this, and it is time. And she has been at the table when we were talking about funding. She has been at the table on the campus of NCCU with the hierarchy to talk about the presence of the United Methodist Church and how does this impact this church, CityWell. So we invited her, but we also prayed together about this time because I want you to hear these words come from me. I am not being pushed out of CityWell. Hear these words. I am not being pushed out of CityWell Church. You may not hear that clearly, but I want you to hear this again. I am not being pushed out of CityWell Church. There is nothing that my partner has done to nothing at all. If anything, not only has he fought for me, he's walked beside me. And yes, we haven't gotten it right all the way. But there's been a faithfulness, integrity, truthfulness to walk this out all the way. And to come before you today is important for you to hear this. Because we invited the DS because we knew that there may be another way that this could be twisted beyond this congregation. Unfortunately, she had another engagement, but she did respond in email. She said, continue to set the record straight. Continue to be a witness. Continue to tell the CityWell story, because if it is Gloria's success, it is CityWell's success.
Yeah, that's right.
Do you hear that? If this is an opportunity to show the greatness of what God has done on the campus, it continues to feed back into CityWell. So we're not going to get this twisted. We're not going to flip-flop this story. I came. I was open. This is what the Holy Spirit provided. I'm stepping in. But I'm not stepping in without looking at where I came from. I'm stepping in with all of you to walk with me, to continue to invest in our students on that campus with the City Well presence. I'm stepping in with Cleve still walking beside me. Having a presence in this church may not be every Sunday, but I hope that I can continue to refer our students to a family that has covenant practices that are real, that has a way of a life that is becoming the way of Jesus on a real, real campus. So I stand before you to challenge you to not look at this as something outside of an opportunity. Because see, some of you are new. You just heard this story for the first time. You probably have bypassed me along the way and not recognized, oh, how does she fit in that story? Who is she? But I'm going to challenge you today to continue to be who you say you are beyond this church, outside of Sundays, in your wells, in those areas where we are to have a presence. This story is so meaty, it's so big, it's so great, and it's all because it's God. I want to call you into being stronger. I want to call you into looking at the next thing that the Holy Spirit is doing. Woo! What is the next thing? Yes! What is the next thing? Excitement. And look at yourself in the mirror and ask the question, what am I doing? What am I doing? Am I responding? Or am I sitting there waiting for someone else to do it?
Claire, I want to jump where you started to go a moment ago about our partnership. We want to be real transparent with you guys about what our life together as partners in ministry has been. There's really nothing we wouldn't tell you. Some of it is glorious and wonderful. Some of it is nasty and ugly.
Most of that
is my part. Some of it is, you know, Gloria and I have profoundly frustrated each other. In consistent ways, really profoundly frustrated each other.
You could not get
two people more different than the two of us. I mean, the obvious stuff apart.
Just
personality-wise, Gloria and I are
as far away from each other on the spectrum as you can be.
Spiritual gifting-wise, same thing. And so as we have pressed in ways to walk with each other, man, have we slammed into each other 100 times
and been angry and had to walk
through Duke Park and fight it out, you know, like trying to like come to a place of saying, can we keep walking together? All of that, and there are a lot of particular stories that we'd be happy to tell you. And by the way, we're going to have other forums to gather for people to ask questions, and we are an open book. We'll tell you all the nitty-gritty. But in all of those stories, the piece that is important for me to tell you today, like the fact that we collide, the fact that we have conflict, the fact that we see things differently, and both have very strong visions and strong personalities, and therefore when we conflict, there's sparks. Like, that's not even that interesting to me. What is interesting to me is that without fail, every single time, no matter where the wrong has been done, on my end or on Gloria's end, we have come back together. We have said, I got it wrong, please forgive me. We have prayed with each other. We have forgiven each other. We've said, what does it mean for us to keep on walking faithfully? Because I know God brought Gloria as a gift to me. I do want to tell one short story along that line, and then I'll hand it back over to you, Gloria. Don't miss this. This church, I truly do not believe, exists today, except that God sent Gloria. When God sent Gloria, there was a movement afoot that I was not aware of in the church, where some key leaders in the church had decided that I was unfit to lead this church and had determined, in their words, quote, to take me down. They were African-American folks who, when we hired Gloria, brought her into this plan and said, Gloria, this is not about you. We're going to take Cleve down, and we just want you to know so that you don't get caught in a crossfire. Gloria did not know me well. I mean, this is like 1 month in. And in that 1 month, I mean, we had already had some, you know, like this. And we don't have a track record with each other. And Gloria's track record in the United Methodist Church is a bunch of white men who will walk on top of her without batting an eye and do it twice the next day. She has no reason to trust me. And yet Gloria says at this invitation into the coup, no,
this is my church.
That is my partner. What you're saying is a lie, and I won't be a part of it. And she called our district superintendent, Donna Banks. And she said, Donna, we need you to come in on this. There is an assassination attempt afoot. There is blatant slander and lies that are being told about Cleve. I know they're lies. And so Gloria and Donna and I come and we sit down with these people for hours on end, for months ongoing. And Gloria and I, that entire time, were saying to these folks, come back to the table, but come back repenting, because what you have done is not of the fruit of the Spirit. And in each of those times, I would come out of that meeting and I would say, Gloria, is there anything I did in that space that was unchristlike? And I'll never forget Gloria saying, Cleve, if you were any more like Jesus, you'd be hanging on a cross right now. I mean, the assassination attempt was that strong. I have no doubt in my mind whatsoever that if a black woman was not standing next to me saying to these leaders who are African American in our church, that is not true, in front of the DS, who is also a black person, do you think I would have survived that? Not a chance. And at that point, Citywell was too wrapped up with me. This church would not exist today, except that God sent Gloria. So that's survival. But then beyond that, I would say we wouldn't be who we are today, except that we've been profoundly formed by who Gloria is and how Gloria leads. I am a vastly different person now for having walked with Gloria for 4 years. And I would say I am much closer to being like Jesus than I was because of Gloria's influence and impact in my life.
Cleve leaves me. This is a man that has taught me so much I can't even begin to tell you today. But I do know that I am transformed. One area that he just spoke about was an area where not only was it painful, because I had come from Caucasians doing that to me. Here I was in the church, and African Americans were about to do it to a white person. And it was such a nightmare that it stays with me today, and it reminds me that whenever I stand for something, I have to know that I'm standing for it. And I say that to each of you today, because when we walk together over and over, there are times where there are so many things that are against us. He said it well. He didn't mention age, but there's an age difference. You know, you see, this is always. He's dressed a certain way. I'm dressed a certain way.
I dressed up today. Yes. I wore a button-up shirt.
I see.
I'm looking fine today.
But we are together as partners. We're together as family. And I want to say that one of the things that Cleve has done most in my life, he has made me look at staying at the table. I am such a person where I will just withdraw. I will be quiet, I will withdraw, and I'll just, but he's like, no, let's talk. Let's do this. You know, I'm like, okay, I don't want to talk. But he has been one that has pulled out a part of me that is to be, let's look at it from a different angle. Let's look at reconciliation from a different angle instead of, you did it wrong, I did it wrong. over and over, the commitment to continue to come back to the table. And I would say also, whenever there's been things that have happened in our world, all around us, this is a person that has said, I want to learn, I want to grow, to be conscious of what has occurred. How does that impact you, Gloria? Most understanding, compassionate about the hurt, the pain of others. He has not only been a learner in this relationship about the culture of those that are minorities or of color, he has truly been one that has wanted to sit at their feet to get it right. And I am so thankful for that. But also on another level, he's fought for me. Cleve has fought for me at every table he's been. Whether it's a table with our leadership team, our conference, any table, he has said, let's look at it from this way. And I can't say enough to you today, Cleve. Thank you. Thank you for walking as a man of integrity, a man that is who you say you are when you are at the table and when you're away from the table. And I want to clearly let everyone in here know that if there was a different way, I wouldn't stand here telling you the opposite. I would tell you the way. If there was anything that I felt you needed to know that was so significant today to make sure that you get this full picture, I wouldn't do that because that's who I am. You know I'm going to preach. I'm going to be right in your face. And I'm not going to do anything different about this. But I believe that God has brought us together. God has done a work in me to make me a better person, to make me a better leader. And also, Cleve, a person that has to look at what does it mean to walk in my own identity with a person that is also growing in his identity. That's a gift. I would not be who I am and wanting to put words to my feelings because you know how things are. You hold things in when it has to do with what you are accustomed to. But because of this relationship, because of our commitment to putting race on the table and the gender piece, I've had to really look and put words to my thoughts. And I say thank you for that. Thank you for helping me to grow. Thank you for being a person of honesty, a person that has, when you've gotten it wrong, you said, I got that wrong, Gloria. I got that wrong. And I can't tell you how much that has made me look at myself and raise my hand and say, I got that wrong. I'm sorry too. And so for me to stand before you, City Well, with this man, it is not only a gift, it's also an excitement to say, what is God gonna do next? What is God going to do next in us, through us, and the same for you? That's good news today. Yeah. That's gospel. That's gospel for all of us, whether we are going back into our committee structures trying to figure this out or whether we're going back into our wells. It is real. And yet, there's so much work to be done. There's so much work that we have to do looking at what does this mean for NCCU Campus Ministry? What does it mean that we will go with the help of each of you? What does it mean for us to have a presence more in this church? Who will lead from here when I'm not here? Mm-hmm. Who will pick up and make sure that the ministry is really strong on those days that I'm not here? Mm-hmm. Those are the questions that I hope you're trying to answer. And maybe you've never even heard about NCCU. Maybe it's something you're here for the first time. But I challenge you today, be a part of what God is doing. Be a part of the Holy Spirit at work here through the City Well Wesley Campus Ministry.
I want to say a couple words about what moving forward looks like for us. The first thing that I want to say is
Gloria is pastor
at City Well until July 1st of 2018. Gloria is the pastor at City Well until July 1st of 2018. So we're going to continue walking together and figuring out how to do this right, how to close it well, how to end with sprint. Second thing I want to say is the leadership team, and there's a new team of leaders. leaders in our church called the SCRT. It's a staff congregations relations team. They're the ones tasked a vision. What are the pastoral needs for the congregation? How do we best advocate and support for the staff that we have? How do we mediate between any conflicts within the congregation amongst the staff, things like that? The SCRT, Staff Congregation Relations Team, and the leadership team have been aware of this for several months, praying about this, looking towards the future for several months. The baseline that we would say is we are fundamentally committed to being a church with diverse leadership. We are not stepping backwards to becoming a church that has one white male voice leading. Do you hear me?
Say that again, Clint.
We are not,
they may not have
stepping
heard that.
Backwards. We are fundamentally committed to being a church led by diverse pastoral leadership. Now, what that looks like going forward, man, we don't know. We see three options, really, as a church. We can do what we did with Gloria, where we go to the conference and we say, this is what we need, and we can just hope against hope that within this crazy small possibility that that person exists within the United Methodist pastoral ranks, that they would send us somebody. That's a way we can go and are discerning that. We can also do our own search, kind of a national pastor search, and look around and say, who might God bring and from who knows where? And a third way that we can look internally and say, who has God given us that might lead us from within this congregation? Those are questions that are being discerned by the folks in leadership in the church. We are committed to being transparent in the process. So as we know things, y'all are going to hear about things. Until then, and through all of this, we need y'all to be committed to praying on a regular basis for this congregation, for me and for Gloria, for those leaders who are discerning what the future looks like. The last thing I want to say on this, and Gloria would love your thoughts on what moving forward looks like, is as Gloria and I, we led at a conference in Boston this week together, and we rocked it. It was awesome. We had a great time.
We
spent a lot of time reflecting on our story for that context and for this. And one of the notes that just kept coming back to us so heavily was, this is going to be a season of profound spiritual warfare. And we got to arm up. Like, don't think for a minute that we are not incredibly vulnerable in the midst of this transition. We are incredibly vulnerable in the midst of this. And so to be folks who are aware that this thing that God is doing in us, to quote my friend Keith, this is violently opposed. This is violently opposed not only by this force in the spiritual realm, but by the forces in our own world that do not want to see a witness to a way of life that doesn't bow down to white supremacy. This will be violently opposed, and we have got to be people who are armed with prayer and the word of God and a deep holding on and loving each other throughout this season.
Also, to that note, Cleve, we have to walk in truth telling.
That's right.
Some of us don't want to do that. We want to either change the narrative, we want to look at it from another angle, but we have to walk in being truth tellers today. When we know that because others are trying to get this right. Someone in New England was so in awe at this story. They have sat down and said, well, let's tell us some more, because this is not easy. This is extremely difficult. And so when you're around those circles, whether it's Methodists or others or church people or just in it, you're going to have to be truthful. You can't go with the narrative, or you know it's going to be this way. You know they are like that. You know it'll work. No. And don't add on to the story of someone else. This is CityWell's story. This is CityWell's story. So there's a challenge today. There's a challenge when you leave this place after our formation conversation and there's something that is being discussed that isn't truthful. Come and ask Cleve. Come and ask me. But don't allow rumors, misinformation to go out the door. We have a responsibility. And if you don't know the answer, please tell the person, I'll get back with you, but that's a good question. Let me figure that out. But you are as much of a witness to this as we are. Mm-hmm. You really are. Because whoever's coming in this place after me is going to be hoping that these will be family with open arms, welcoming and loving and walking and healing. Because that's what you've been to me. Can we pray?
Do you mind if I pray?
Yes.
We all reach your hands toward Gloria. Lord God, in reaching our hands toward Gloria, we reach our hands toward you because we see you in her. We believe that she is your gift to this world, to your church, to this congregation and this season. And we rejoice and we praise you. Lord Jesus, we've come to know her well enough to know she listens to you. She hears your voice. And so it is a joy to join with her in the declaration of what your Spirit is doing. Thank you for giving us the gift to participate and to bless and to send. Lord, I pray for her. I pray that as she walks through the close of this season with us over the next several months, that she would feel more embraced than ever, that she would feel more known than ever, that she would feel more valued than ever. Lord, that her voice would continue to rise up among us more and more clear, with greater and greater conviction to call us to become the people you've called us to be. Lord God, we pray for her that you would set the path before her in such a way where she would never wonder, is that your light leading? But she would know that she walks in step with your Spirit. Lord, we name the impact on the campus at NCCU as your great and mighty works. And we praise you for using Gloria to that end. And Lord Jesus, we pray that it would only amplify, that it would only expand, that you would give her more influence for your name and your kingdom on that campus. And that that would come with this deep gratification of hearing you whisper into her ear, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You are my beloved with whom I am well pleased." Lord Jesus, we rejoice. And we name that saying goodbye to Gloria as pastor will be a great loss. And I pray that you would give us the emotional freedom and honesty to grieve in the coming months. And would you give us the human complexity and courage to be able to grieve and to celebrate her at the same time? Lord, I name the tendency that so many of us have to recoil when we're grieving, to pull away when we're sad. I pray that you would, by your Spirit, help us to resist that we would draw nearer to Gloria. I pray that on behalf of this whole congregation. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would make us highly attuned to the ways that your work in our midst is being resisted, that we might know when to come together and to pray into your name and to lean upon you and to say, cast out the evil one. To say, Satan, you have no place in this church, no place in our pastors, no place in our leadership team, no place so your rumors can just go. We will only speak truth here. Lord, attune us to these things that we may be fully equipped with the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the sword of your Spirit, and feet that are fitted and ready for peace. Lord, we rejoice and we grieve and we hope and we need you. We pray all of this in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.